Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, out of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You may be seated. I was reading the other day and I found out that in 2011, the Department of Agriculture revealed some interesting numbers about what Americans eat. He said that the average American consumed annually 1,996 pounds of food a year. They said that this consisted of 632 pounds of dairy products on an average, 31.4 pounds of that is cheese. For so those of you that are eating those double cheeseburgers, it's a little bit more. There are 415.4 pounds of vegetables, and I know some of you are on the low side of that. The most popular choices are corn and potatoes. 29 pounds on the average of those veggies are French fries. And then 273 pounds of fruit, mostly apples and oranges. And then on average, 183.6 pounds of meat and poultry. For some of us, a little more of one or the other, whether it be cow or chicken. 60.4 pounds is chicken. 62.4 pounds is beef. 16.1 pounds is fish or shellfish. The bottom category is 141.6 pounds of sweeteners. Yeah, some of you getting sweeter and sweeter. The doctor's going to tell you eventually you're too sweet and you're going to have to cut back on the sweetener. Amen. 53 gallons of soda. If you are what you eat, we need to call some of you Miss Chocolate Pie. Amen. Or Mr. Ice Cream. Or Sister Sweet Roll, or Brother Big Thirsty. And even if you had all of that, you don't have enough to live on. You got to have more than that to live on. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we've been looking in our last time together at the declaration of God's book. The Bible calls it the Word of God. It is the book of my life. I trust that this book is the book of your life. I trust that no other form of information in your life takes precedence over what the Word of God says. I have a large library, but there is no book that is so important as God's book. This book is the book of my life. It is the book that I live with. Every day I have my hands on my Bible. I don't usually have to worry about where is my Bible. Unless somebody has moved my Bible, then I have to worry about where is my Bible. Usually I can put my hands on it. I have one by the bed. I've got several there in the study. And I want to live with this book. And I want to live by this book. And live by what the Word of God has to say. And not only is it the book of my life, and it's the book that I live with and the book that I live by. It's the book that I want to die by. Hallelujah. I'm thankful this Bible has been able to see us safely home. I read the story years ago about William Mackay. He was a doctor that became a preacher, and he went off to college, and his mother gave him a Bible, and she wrote some things in the front of that Bible and put his name in it and sent him off to college with that Bible. And he sunk so far down morally, got to drinking, and eventually sold that Bible at a little shop somewhere and discarded the gift, the precious gift of his mother. And one day he was working on the hospital floor when he became a doctor, and a dying man just kept asking for that book. Bring me that book. And he said after the man expired that he went into the room to find out what book this man was so asking about. and look there by that bedside was the Bible that his mother had given him. After that time, William Mackay got born again. He trusted Christ. After that time, he took Jesus as his Savior. I'm glad the Bible declares in this passage of Scripture the wonder working power and the description of God's Word in this passage. There are four different categories I want to deal with and treat tonight. The Bible said, for the Word of God is what? It's quick, for the Word of God is quick, and that does not mean it's speedy or fast, but it means that the Bible is a living book, and you and I have a book that has inherent life in it. The Bible is inspired, it is not expired. Amen. There's some books that you could pick up, manuals and other types of training materials, that there will come a time that there will be irrelevant, but the Bible is inspired. It is not expired. The attributes of the living Word of God are given to you and I to remind us that everything we need is found in God's precious Word. Listen tonight, I firmly believe that you could take this King James Bible and your prayer closet and you can navigate the Christian life quite well. I thank God for this Bible is a sufficient book, and everything we need is found in God's holy word. The word quick refers to the fact that it is alive. It is a living book. It moves. It stirs itself. It lives. It communes with living men as a living word. So tonight, the Bible is alive. There's no other book that so works like the Bible does because of its own claim. The Bible says about itself that it is alive. It's got the life of God coursing on the inside of it. It's unique in its own claim. Look in John chapter 6 and verse 63 and you'll see what our Lord said about it. In John 6 and verse 63, here's what our Lord said. Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus said that this Bible is alive. Peter said, it liveth and it abideth forever. That is, the Bible is unique in its claim in that it is alive. And the Bible is not only a living book, but thank God, it's a life-giving book. How many of us could confess tonight and testify that we walk through this world like a dead individual? Oh, but thank God through the power of the Scriptures and the precious presentation of the gospel, you and I have gotten life in Jesus Christ because of this living book. This life-giving book is a life-changing book, and through it we are able to enter into what the Hebrew writer is addressing here as the rest of God, and that is the rest. First of all, the rest of salvation, and of course the rest that is promised for us in the glory world. Some books are given for our information, but the Bible is given for our transformation. Hallelujah. That's exactly right. And the Bible is unique in its claim. And then it's unique in its own continuance. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1 and verse 23 that it liveth and abideth forever. Now I want to tell you this tonight. I'm afraid that we have overlooked this, and the enemy has used our ignorance against us in this regard. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, the Bible said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And for so long, Baptists, my friend, have been weak on the Bible issue. And a lot of Christians have been weak on the Bible issue. Now, I want to encourage you about this. If you listen to new evangelicals and you listen to these middle of the road preachers on the radio every day or on the television, they don't use the King James Bible, eventually that is going to affect and influence your mind. Now, the Bible issue is an important issue, and that is because the debate today is whether or not inspiration extends beyond the original autographs. Simply stated, they're saying that inspiration does not extend beyond the original manuscripts. And yet when Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, he had never put his hands on any original manuscripts, but all that he had handled and all that you and I have handled are copies of the manuscripts. In fact, I don't know anybody here tonight that can read Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic. And so there's some today that are really saying that the Bible is not inspired, but the Bible is expired. And that the Bible has no life in it. But that's not what the Bible said. That's not what the Bible's own testimony is of itself. In fact, Paul had no original manuscripts. All he had was copies that carried the same inspired words of Scripture like we have today. You and I don't have any original manuscripts. You say, well, I can study Greek and Hebrew. You can, but you probably ought to try first to make sure that you got a good handle on English. Now, I say that maybe sarcastically, and please forgive me for doing so, but I see so many Christians that believe they can't understand their Bible without a concordance or a lexicon, and that is just not true. God gave you a book in the English language so you can study it and you can have it, and the Bible is not expired. It is, in fact, alive, and it's inspired of God. And, in fact, if inspiration does not extend beyond the original manuscripts, then we don't have a Bible. But I want to tell you tonight, we do have God's precious word in front of us in our King James Bible. Not only should we recognize that the Bible abides continually, it's a living book, but its continuance is a testimony of how God has preserved it for you and I. Not only should we recognize it abides for us, but it should also abide in us. I've read this time and time again through the years about how famous infidels have pronounced the death of the Bible. Bob Ingersoll held up a copy of the Bible and said, in 15 years, I'll have this book in the morgue. 15 years rolled by and Ingersoll was in the morgue and the Bible lives on. Voltaire, the French infidel, said that in 100 years, the Bible would be outmoded and forgotten. It would be a forgotten book to be found only in museums. When 100 years were up, Voltaire's house was owned and used by the Geneva Bible Society. They stacked Bibles from the floor to the ceiling in his very house. The Bible has marched those infidels out to their grave, and the Bible is marching on. I'm telling you tonight, this Bible has inherent life in it. The Bible is inspired. It is not expired. Hallelujah. All other books have no life in them, but the Bible has abiding life in it. And the Bible tells us it liveth and abideth forever. The Bible has inherent life. The Bible has intense energy in it. In fact, the Bible is efficient and not deficient. Now, modern ministry says you need less and less of the Bible and more of something else. The seeker-sensitive movement says we don't have any more need for 40-minute or one-hour sermons. You need to have a 15-minute motivational speech and then have some dramas on the stage to hold people's attention. Are you listening now? I'm preaching to you where we're at in the Bible Belt even. And they say we've got time for contemporary worship music. We've got time for praise dance. We've got time for drama. But we don't have time for an old-fashioned preacher to stand up and thunder to us what God's Word said. Listen, let me tell you this. It's not because God has changed. It's not because God's book has changed. It's not because God's method has changed. It's because people have changed and society's changed and the church is compromised. God help us to get back to the Bible. Amen. pulled up at the gas pump yesterday, and I struck up a conversation with the guy, and he told me he was here from out of town. We began to converse, and I said, "What do you do for a living?" He said, "I'm a life coach. I'm a life coach." He said, "I've been doing this for 25 years. So I got a gospel track, and I said, I conversed with him some, and just to find out, I pretty much figured out I knew what he was when he told me that. I'm not a life coach. I'm a preacher of the Word of God. I'm a Bible preacher. I'm a pastor. I'm a man of God. I can help you with your life if you listen to the Bible. I don't consider myself a motivational speaker. I'm not a life coach. I don't have philosophy to give you. I've got some eternal truths that are found in God's holy word. It'll help you whether you're 9 or 90. It'll help you whether you're 30 or whether you're 60. It transcends every generation, every dilemma, every problem. That's because this book is a powerful book. Its power abides and none can extinguish it. Many have come and tried to stamp out the light of the Word of God. Yet this eternal light continues to shine tonight from one generation to another. I thought about this. Years ago, a man came to this greater community named J. Harold Smith. He started a tent meeting in Concord, North Carolina. And from that, the preaching of the gospel, many people got saved. They organized the church that was once inside this building that I'm preaching in tonight. Listen, J. Harold Smith has long stepped off the scene. I heard him preach in 1986. I can still remember this day what he preached on that night. I want to tell you, this Bible has continued its onward march because it is an abiding book. You cannot extinguish the Bible. It's efficient and not deficient. Let me say, it's not a detriment to anybody's ministry unless their ministry is not rooted in the Bible. Amen. That's exactly right. In fact, this Bible is an active book. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 said, "It effectually works in those that believe." If the Bible does not help you, it may be that you have nothing to feed on and that you're not one of the Lord's sheep, but you cannot stop the Bible. It advances through our world continually and none can abate its powerful influence. It has power and it's adequate, my friend, to reach every singular generation. What they needed, my friend, in the early 1960s when J. Harold Smith came to Concord, it's the same thing that America needs tonight. We still need the gospel. We still need the powerful preaching of God's holy word. What we need in this hour is still the preaching of God's word. Hallelujah. In fact, this Bible, my friend, is efficient. And it is able to make the changes that need to be made. Albert Barnes said all the great changes in the moral world for the better have been caused by the power of the truth. This Bible has inherent life in it. And this Bible has intense energy in it. It's, listen now, it's willing to be released on a generation. It matters not if you're a senior citizen, if you're an ex-generationer, or if you're a millennial, or if you're the new generation. I'm glad I have the answer for the oncoming generation. And that answer is in God's holy word. What is it, my friend, that our generation needs? They need the precious word of God. They need the Son of God. And they need the gospel of God. Oh, this Bible has power to regenerate. Amen. Man never kindles a desire for the Bible until the life of God comes to live on the inside of it. You say, the Bible's boring to me. Well, that's because you need to have your heart changed. This Bible is a living book for those that have been made alive by it. Jesus said that except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And unless you, through the power of the Holy Ghost and through the principles of God's word, have passed from death to life, this Bible will never mean anything to you. I'm telling you, friend, when you get saved and you fall in love with the author, oh, you won't have any problem having a relationship with God. God's precious word. There may be some struggles in your reading comprehension and your understanding and your study habits. Oh, but I'll tell you this. If you get saved, there will be a desire on the inside of your heart because the Bible has power to regenerate. Amen. This Bible has power to revive. In fact, I do believe the King James Bible has been more instrumental in revivals that have taken place than any other supposed version of God's book. I want to say this Bible still has power to revive. Say amen right there. Psalm 119 and verse 25. Look at what the Bible says. Psalm 119 verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Psalm 119, 107. Here's what the Bible said. God said he would quicken us through the word of God. I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Oh, in that great chapter where God said that he exalted his word above all his name, the psalmist said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Oh, yes. Thank God. Did you know that the Bible can send revival to your heart? Even though your life is swirling in trouble, even though there's a conflict from the enemy on every hand, thank God you can experience revival. In fact, revival is coming up, and many times has spared nations and communities. At a time, my friend, when Europe was on the verge of crisis, God sent a man named John and his brother Charles Wesley. God sent the mighty movement of God to revival in Europe. I'm telling you what, this Bible is able to regenerate. This Bible is able to revive. Amen. I know when a person begins to lose their joy, they begin to leave their Bible. I know when a person begins to sit in church like a bump on a pickle, I know they've not been in their Bible. Say amen right there. Oh, I know when a person begins to get in the services and they seem like that nothing really is a blessing. I'm telling you what, people can be shouting all around you. And if your heart's cold and indifferent, and if you're a distance from God, and if your life's out of order and you know your conscience is condemning you and your heart, and the Holy Ghost is pricking you, that's, you know, your heart's not right with God. You can't enjoy the worship of God. Oh, but this Bible has a way of coming into us and renewing our hearts and renewing our lives. In fact, the mind can be renewed. The spirit can be renewed. The Bible said by the renewing of your mind. How does it take place? It takes place by putting God's book in it every day. The inward man is renewed in knowledge day by day. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 10. So the Bible has the power to renew the heart and the mind. Amen. You say, how do you stay excited? Well, it sure ain't by looking at Baptists. Hallelujah. It's by looking at the book, staying in the book. I'm telling you, I'm excited every week as I come to Sunday school. I'm excited every week as I handle the God's book. I'm excited about what God's showing me out of his book. I'm glad the Bible's got inherent life in it. I'm glad it's got intense energy in it. It's got power to regenerate. It's got power to revive. It's got power to renew. It's got dynamic power in it. This Bible is full of energy, for the word of God is quick and powerful. It's a strengthening book, amen. I'm going to tell you, there are going to be times and your feelings are going to be upside down and you can't live by how you feel. And there are going to be times when people around you are not going to know what to tell you. And your heart's going to be so heavy, you're going to feel like you could die. Oh, well, I'm glad the Lord is the strength of my life. And the Bible is his instruction book. And it's got such dynamic power in it that it's able to deliver us and able to bring us out. Psalm 119, 107, he said, the Bible said, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. I'm glad the Bible has that dynamic power and delivering power. And it's got directing power. You say, preacher, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I should do. Well, I tell you what you ought to do. First of all, don't do anything. When you don't know what you ought to do, don't do anything. Then the next thing you ought to do is get into the Bible. You say, well, where do I start to read? Don't do what one fella did. He was about bankrupt because he didn't know how to manage his finances. And he told a friend of his, he said, I'm going down on the beach and I'm going to read the Bible. And the next time he saw him, he looked like he was doing fine, had a brand new pair of clothes on, fresh haircut, and it looked like he was doing really well. He said, hey, he said, what'd you do? He said, I went down to the beach and I read the Bible. He said, what'd you find? He said, I opened it up, found chapter 11. Amen. Some of y'all don't understand that. Let me go on. Help us, Lord. We do need direction from the Bible, though. direction from the Bible means. In Psalm 86, verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will walk in thy truth. The Bible is light to dispel darkness, but also it's light to walk in. Light won't help you unless you walk in it. I have before turned the light off from here to there, saying, I can make it to the door over there all right. Find out that the darkness was a lot greater than me. Wound up in the floor in the dark, thanking God nobody was around to look and see. Laying there saying, Lord, I messed up on that one. I should have left the light on. I should have been walking in the light instead of groping through the darkness. Sometimes you can take a chance by taking a leap in the dark, but that's not what God wants us to do. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is a step out on God's precious word. And the Bible has dynamic power. It has delivering power. It has directing power. It has determined power. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That's why there's a lot of things that are settled in my heart, because God's book has settled it for me. It has developing power, and its developing power is amazing. And I thank God it's able to take a life and develop a life. You say, I want to grow in God. You're going to have to get into God's book. Amen. You're going to have a daily relationship with the Bible. And you say, preacher, I just read so much I don't understand. Me too. And I learned something every week of my life and been studying it seriously for over 36 years of my life. But I learned something every week of my life. I don't approach the Bible as if it is an impossible book to learn. I approach it as a book that needs to be learned and that needs to be studied and understood. And then the Bible not only has inherent life in it and intense energy in it, the Bible does an incisive work in us. The Bible said it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, out of the joints and marrow. Now, notice here in the Bible, it's likened unto a sword. I like all the metaphors that are related to the Bible. It is a seed that must be sown. That's why we have a seed sowing ministry here, sowing the seed. People don't get saved without the seed being sown in their heart and the word of God coming to them. I read the story some time ago about a man, and he was in Europe. He was a pickpocket. He was in a large public area, and he saw a man with a large bulge on his hip pocket. He thought, wow, he said, probably a very nice size wallet. And so in the process of his trade and his scheme, he picked that man's pocket. He picked many other pockets that day. When he got home, he emptied out his coat and discovered that what was in that man's pocket was a New Testament, a nice leather-bound New Testament. He cast that testament aside because of his wicked life. After some days, he picked that testament up and started to read it, and eventually took Jesus Christ as his Savior. In a Bible society meeting which this man joined, they were giving testimonies. And he stood one night and he held up that testament. And he said, I have an unusual testimony. My life is a result of this testament. I was a pickpocket, and I used to pick men's pocket. And I picked one man's pocket one day, and I found this testament. I read it, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I owe my life to this testament. A man there in that meeting came and said, can I see that book? And he said, I had counted that book lost, but I found out that it was not lost at all. God had put it in that man's hands so he could take Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. This Bible is a seed. This Bible is bread. This Bible is a sword. Hallelujah. Amen. And a sword is a metaphor used of the Bible in the Scripture. The sword is the spoken word of Christ, and it is the written word of Christ. The Bible said in Revelation, out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword. And by the way, this Bible is said to be sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the Savior's sword. It is his word. It is the Spirit's sword, Ephesians 6 and verse 17. And it's also the saint's sword. It's sharper than any instrument to penetrate the deep recesses of man's being. A lot of times people get mad at things. The things that make them mad are things that tell their spiritual condition. Why would a person get mad when you preach about giving? It's because they don't want to give. Why would a person get mad when you preach on sin? It's because they love their sin and they don't want to repent of their sin. Why would a person get mad when you preach on adultery? It's because they have a heart that is full of adultery. Listen, this Bible is able to penetrate the deep recesses of man's being. It is spoken of as the word of Christ, as the spoken word, and as the written word. This Bible has a ministry. In the day when swords were made, some swords had a single edge and a dull edge. Other swords had two sharp edges. They were extremely effective in battle. And yet the Bible is said to be a sword that is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to penetrate completely the recesses of the inner man. Now, it comes from the Savior's mouth to our heart. And it does to the heart what nobody else can do. I like to preach the Bible because God's word is very, very effective. I preached in a church last year and I used the word Democrat and I offended a whole lot of people. The pastor got in hot water because I said one time I hit my nail with a fingernail with a hammer and I hollered a bad word. I said, Democrat. They needed to get right with God. Well, he preached on abortion and called it the slaughter of innocent children last week, and they got even madder about that. This is the day and the hour in which we're living in. Get this now. They got mad because he called abortion the slaughter of innocent unborn children. But the fact that they're mad shows what kind of philosophy that they have. And it shows their heart. Listen now, this Bible has a two-edged sword. On one side, it comes for condemnation. It condemns sin. On the other side, it comes for deliverance. Hallelujah. On one side, it proclaims our guilt. On the other side, it declares God's grace. On one side, it pronounces judgment. On the other side, it declares his mercy. On one side, my friend, it declares destruction. On the other side, it brings about God's deliverance. It's a two-edged sword, and it's very, very effective at penetrating and purifying the soul and the hearts of men. The Bible is purifying. It is not pacifying. Now, if you look for a straight answer about your life and you read the Bible and you don't like what it says, don't throw the Bible out. Get your life lined up with God's book. A lot of people have cast aside the Bible, and they need to be casting aside their sins. It has an incisive work. And then the Bible is powerfully invasive in its searching. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And he is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, the Bible is able to reveal people's minds and their hearts and their motivation. The purifying power of the Scriptures exert themselves in the mind and heart. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word brings to light what you and I have on our mind. I've had more than one person through the years say, that preacher knows what I'm thinking about. No, the Bible knows what you're thinking about. The Bible penetrates your thought processes. I remember I was preaching for weeks on the home, and somebody came to church, and every week I preached on the subject that was at hand or the problem that was at hand in one particular home. One Sunday night I was preaching, and she looked over at him and said, he's got us bugged. No, the Bible has the answer for your situation. The Word of God penetrates the thoughts and intents of the heart. It brings to light the very thoughts and intents that you and I have. God knows what's on your mind. And God knows what the motivation that you have is. Our motivation. And our thoughts refer to the activity of our mind. Our intents refer to our motives for our behavior. Now, you and I don't know what a person's thoughts or motives are. I hear people say things like this. It just sounds crazy to me. I guess you think you're better than me. Well, no, I think I'm a whole lot worse than you are. Some days, I don't think too much of myself at all. How do you know what I think? This thing up here is so scrambled up. I beg God for help every day of my life. You don't know what I think. And I'm glad I don't know what you think. But I know God knows what we both think. He knows our thoughts and He knows our intents. The Bible examines us. It evaluates us. It delivers its verdict. We may not like it, but we need to accept it. In fact, there are many times I read the Bible and I don't like what it says. I don't like what it says because it hits me so hard in my heart and in my mind. Because it definitely reveals when I'm not right with my Heavenly Father. None of us really know ourselves until we've allowed the Scriptures to scrutinize every thought, every motive, every intent, and every purpose. The daily influence of the Bible will help you to understand how to think right, how to act right, how to live right. And through God's book, I believe this book is the best manual for mental health that has ever been written. I believe it has. I've seen some crazy people get absolutely sane because they got born again and got into the Bible. And I mean, honestly, they were just about slap off the wall before they come to Christ. And I believe this. I believe that you and I must search the Word and must allow the Word to search us. We got to get it in our hearts and we got to get our heart into it. And it will begin to search our thoughts and intents and purposes. And it's going to uncover every sin in your life. You may come to church and get mad at the preacher because he preached on some subject that you didn't want to hear about. Go home, read your Bible, and be right there in front of you. You say, well, I'm getting it from both barrels. Well, just find out what God said and begin to get it out of your life. It'll uncover sin. It'll unveil any ungodliness. It'll expose and manifest whatever thing in your life is contrary to God's will. And God's Word will work on you and in you. God's Word can help you in every way in your life. There have been a lot of times my mind's been pretty scrambled, but I thank God His book has done its office work in my mind and heart to discover the thoughts and intents that are in my mind and to help me to do what God wants me to do. I'm preaching tonight on the power of the Word of God. Let's stand together.